Amen. Let's take a look at some things in scripture, and then I'm going to kind of turn it over to you guys. I want to hear some testimonies of how the Lord protected you, how the Lord gave you grace and mercy during this time and encourages us. But what I wanted to do kind of first of all, before we kind of jump into that, is to have us look at a few texts of scripture that I think would be profitable, if you don't mind. Let me see if I can pull the share screen up for us. Okay. I have some passages up here that deal with giving thanks. And remember, the reason why I'm dealing with this subject today isn't because, well, geez, you know, it's Thanksgiving or something coming around the corner. It's because we're going to give thanks to the Lord for what we prayed about last Sunday. If you remember, when we prayed, three things that kind of stood out to me was one of them was that we prayed that the Lord would be glorified in the outcome of this storm. Number two, we prayed that the Lord would protect each and every one of us. And then we prayed and asked the Lord that he would affect the storm, downsize it, turn it away from us. And he did. If you remember I think Lauren put out a little Snapchat, a picture of the meteorologist showing how the storm turned east and then went north. And we dodged a real bullet, missing the eye completely as it went closer to Hammond than it did to us. Question that I kind of had in the back of my mind that kind of made me, I guess, sit up and take a notice a little bit, is that when we prayed for that, I'm sure Jimmy Downing's church was praying for that too. Now, did my prayer send that storm to Jimmy Downing's church? That's not what we prayed for, but that's what happened. Think about that for a second. I'm going to pray for something. And when I pray for something, it's going to have an effect on other people, for good or for bad. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, his kingdom to come and his will to be done, that's going to have an effect on other people. When you throw a stone into a pond, it has a ripple effect. I might be directing my prayer in a certain given direction. Lord, change the path of the storm. I'm not praying that the storm goes and destroys other people, but I'm asking him to change the course for it doesn't destroy us. But in that answer, that his kingdom comes and his will to be done, behold the goodness and the severity of the Lord. Every prayer in a lot of ways is like that. It has a thread effect on the sweater. You pull on that thread and it's going to affect how the rest of the arm of the sleeve looks. Now that's just how it is. It's not as if we're trying to have someone else lie in harm's way when that happens. But when we pray and we ask the Lord, would you do this? Would you do that? Those things are real possibilities. At the same time, if that was to take place for us, people would be praying and all of a sudden we receive the short end of the stick, so to say. The Bible is very clear about our response to that. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. You know what's taking place, that the Lord is just putting your faith on the anvil, strengthening it so that it becomes endurance, as it says in James chapter 1, so that you have a stronger faith down the road. You have a testimony that will be able to give glory to God that other people will not have that opportunity our ability to be able to do. So it's a win-win either way. While we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, we also understand that part and parcel of the process to do that is that there's work involved, there's other people involved that get that bread to our table that may not be something that we would be able to do on our own. It might even be something that has a negative effect on others. It's not because we're praying for that. That's just how prayers work. It's just how the fabric of our society and every society works along those lines. So if a Christian's going through a difficult time and we're praying that the Lord take him out of that difficult time, like Paul prayed with that thorn in the flesh, we also are mindful that when God answers a prayer, it might be somebody else gets that thorn. It might not be. But when they do, we also understand it isn't because of sins in their life or because they haven't been a good girl or a good boy. It's that we understand as Christians, everything that comes into our lives comes into our lives because God not only ordains it, but ordains it for our good. Romans 8, 28, nothing is going to touch us that isn't going to be for our good, that is not going to magnify Christ and make us more into his image. So having said that, what I want us to kind of go back and look at is some of these passages here on giving thanks. We should give thanks because in these three areas, God answered our prayers. Every single one was protected in the storm. Not a person died. Not a person lost their house. Probably most of us lost some conveniences of a first world country. We lost power. We lost air conditioning. Oh, we might have had a few trials trying to find gas. But nobody went hungry. I don't think anybody's water went out like they did in New Orleans, like or Kenner, like for 5 days or something where you couldn't drink any water. You had to go, you know, from pillar to post to find water. We know Christ was glorified. So amen. Number three, where he turned the storm away from us. I remember hearing the meteorologist say, it's taking a jog to the east. And I thought about our prayers. I thought about what we had prayed for and asked the Lord to do. And he heard us. And he heard us. And that should give us confidence to pray in the future, knowing that he heard us. He heard us when we prayed about Hurricane, I think it was Gilbert, off of the coast south of Lafayette. That would have been a devastating storm for Baton Rouge. He heard us and just wind sheared the thing down to nothing. So knowing these three things that we prayed for and that the Lord did, I think it's just appropriate for us to give thanks to him, as it says in Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. He talks about in Psalm 50, verse 23, how he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. Now, that's what they did on the old covenant. You would bring an animal to the temple and you would sacrifice with the idea of, I want to thank the Lord. I want to give thanksgiving to him for all the ways he has blessed me all my life. We're commanded in 1 Thessalonians 5 to in verse 18, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You're trying to wonder what God's will is for my life. There it is. In everything, give thanks. He didn't say in most things or in the good things. He says in everything. He's going to say the same thing on what it means to be filled in the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5. Always giving thanks for all things, verse 20. And then in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, as we have received the Lord and we walk in him and we're firmly rooted and we're being built up in him and we're established, he says, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and doing what? Overflowing with gratitude. A few little points about Thanksgiving I wanted to share, and then I'm going to kind of cut it loose for testimony time. I don't want to spend a lot of time just preaching on the subject, but just kind of give you some things to remember about Thanksgiving, okay? The first thing you need to understand about Thanksgiving. Now, I'm not talking about the holiday here, okay? It's giving thanks. The first thing you really want to understand about Thanksgiving, giving thanks to the Lord, is that it's a lot like contentment. It comes by subtraction. Now think about that for a second. We exhibit a degree of thanksgiving in life in reverse proportion to the amount of blessings we've received. Martin Luther wrote in his book, Table Talk, this is what he said, quote, the greater God's gifts and works, the less they are regarded. Now, it shouldn't be that way, but it seems to be that way. A hungry man is more thankful for his morsel than a rich man for his heavenly laden table. A lonely woman in a nursing home will appreciate a visit more than a popular woman with a party thrown in her honor. A Russian who finally gets his own copy of the Holy Scriptures after 75 years of state-imposed atheism is more thankful for his little book than we are for all the Christian books and magazines and translations that overflow our shelves. Ralph Waldo Emerson observed that if the constellations in the sky appeared only once in 1,000 years, imagine what an exciting event it would be. But because they're there every night, we barely give them a look. So one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives is a gradual reversal of that twisted pattern. God wants to make us people who exhibit a thankfulness in proper proportion to the gifts and blessings we've received. I like what one writer said. He says, if my children wake up on Christmas morning and have somebody to thank for putting candy in their stockings, have I no one to thank for putting 2 feet in mine? So the first thing we want to understand and remember about Thanksgiving is that many times it comes by subtraction. God is going to squeeze Thanksgiving out of you by taking things away. Let me ask you a question. How many today, you got to be honest with yourself, thank the Lord for air conditioning today? In just 2 days, you got used to air conditioning so much, you thanked him for it. Now you thanked him when it came back on because you knew what it was like to not have it. And then now you have it, or power, or whatever else. When you don't have something and you have to go without, and then all of a sudden it comes back, it's like, wow, well, was I reminded of how much I took for granted that electricity or that air conditioning or gas at the pumps or whatever. You never think to thank the Lord about those things on an everyday basis. I mean, there's just so much to thank him for. You would be thanking him all the time. But then I guess that's the point, because that's what he says in 1 Thessalonians 5. In everything, give thanks. In Ephesians chapter 5, always give thanks for all things. So while we're called to do that, especially as we think of this salvation that's so great in our lives, we're asking the Lord to change our lives to become more like Christ. One of the most fundamental changes he's going to make in your life is to make you more grateful, make you more thankful. And many times the way he does that is a harsh reminder. He'll take things away and says, I'm going to teach you how to give thanks to me. I am going to take this out of your life. And you're going to, it's something you've been used to 24/7. I'm going to take it out and you will thank me. And you will learn some things about thanking me that you need to look more like Jesus Christ. He's not trying to torture you or beat you up. He's trying to conform you to be more like Christ. Christ was the perfect example of a man who constantly fulfilled these commands here. In everything, give thanks. Constantly giving thanks. He broke bread, gave thanks. He broke the fish and the loaves and fed the 4,000 and the 5,000, giving thanks. He constantly giving thanks for all things. So the first thing is that many times it comes by subtraction. God's got to take things out of our lives to teach us this very, very important truth concerning what it means to give thanks. Because remember, this is the essence of the Holy Spirit being filled, and it's the essence of praise in Hebrews 13, 15, the praise of our lips, which is in giving thanks. And it's how we approach God, we see in Psalm 100, verse 4, and how the saints praise God in Revelation chapter 4. And obviously, it's going to be something that he's going to do in our lives on a continual basis. I mean, think about it. We receive our liberties by giving thanks. We give thanks for the food we eat. If he keeps a certain day, he gives thanks. If he doesn't keep a certain day, he gives thanks. See, everything is centered around that giving thanks. He tells us to combat silliness and coarse jesting by what? Giving thanks. The purpose of evangelism is so that more and more people in the world give thanks to God for this great salvation. So it's not only that they receive salvation, but as the ultimate end result is that their mouths open, they praise God, they worship God, they give thanks. Now, if you think about it for a second, second point you want to understand about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an outward expression of gratitude. Gratitude is the inward disposition of the heart. I'm grateful. When you're grateful, it shouldn't just sit there in your heart. It should morph out into worship, praise, but especially thanksgiving. You're verbalizing what's already there in your heart. People who cannot give thanks are people who are not grateful. That's why in Romans 1, it's the first sin in a long list that culminates in a reprobate mind. It is the kickoff of a hardened heart. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 is the characteristic of the lost. He's naming all these characteristics of lost people. One of the ones that comes up is that they're ungrateful. That's the theme of our entire culture right now. Everybody's got this and that as a talking point, as rights or whatever, but none of them are grateful. How many is going to sit back and say, you know, I'm just so thankful what the Lord has given me? No, I got to have a gripe. I got to have a complaint. I got to be railing against somebody or some party or some movement or whatever. I mean, you got to get off that bandwagon of just, you know, loading, locking and loading on President Biden. I get it. But think about it. It comes from a heart. It's not grateful. I got to be grateful of what God has put over me. I don't agree with him, but I don't have to, but I have to be grateful to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because trust me, as bad as it is, it can always be way worse. And so does he have to take away a Biden and install a Stalin to teach you that? He'll be begging for Biden. After that, it's like, geez, I didn't know what we had. All I saw was this. Exactly. And it's the same problem going back to point number one. Many times that type of Thanksgiving comes by way of subtraction. You don't want that kind of subtraction where we get those kind of people in power where there truly are demonic tyrants and all they can think about is just killing people like they did in Genesis chapter 6 and God sends the flood. So second point is that they're a set. The whole idea of being thankful outwardly is being grateful inwardly. Now, I want you to think about something for a second. If gratefulness is the inward disposition for us to be thankful, it's the DNA, it's the most basic component of what it means to praise God. I mean, just think how hard it is to say thank you. Really? 86,000 seconds in a day. And it takes one to say thank you. This is what was so amazing here in this passage in Luke 17 on your screen. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. Now, Samaria is a place where, yes, you guessed it, Samaritans live. Makes sense. Verse 12, as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, who's a Samaritan? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Or as the RSV says, your faith has saved you. And what's interesting here that Luke includes in his gospel account here, specifically the idea that it was a Samaritan, something kind of one of those second-class citizens in the society back then. He's the one who came and did what was supposed to be done. But it's interesting, that question's kind of haunting that Jesus says, but the 9, where are they? In other words, shouldn't they have all come back and given thanks? Now, pay attention to this because it's an interesting tension here in verse 17. On one hand, when Jesus says, where are they? We kind of know where they are, huh? Don't we? I mean, aren't they kind of obeying what Jesus said in verse 14?
go and show yourselves to the priest. Okay, that's what they're doing. They're obeying Jesus. What's wrong with obeying Jesus? They're going to show themselves to the priest. And then yet, Jesus says to the one who comes back to thank him, where's the other nine? In other words, implying all of them should have come back and done what this Samaritan has done. Let's back up a little and take a look at this parable a little bit closer if we can. First of all, you've got 10 leprous men who stood at a distance, right? And they did this, and it kind of looks like it's prearranged. In other words, they heard about Jesus, can see him or whatever is coming in, and they stood at a distance to meet him. Now, why would they stand at a distance to meet him? Why not just go up to him and fall down at his feet? Why not do that? Simple. In Leviticus 13 and 14, here's your first example of a society that practiced quarantine. When you had leprosy, you were to be quarantined. Notice what they did not quarantine. They didn't quarantine the entire nation. The leprous men were to be quarantined, not because other people could catch the leprosy, but because they were unclean in the sight of God, and God wants the unclean separated from the clean, and especially separated from the holy. So they had to stay outside of society. They were outcast. And so when these 10 leprous men raised their voices, they were at a distance. They were meeting the requirement of what it said in Leviticus 13 and 14. What's interesting here is one of those 10 is a Samaritan. Now, you think a Samaritan, wow, he's out there at a distance. Why didn't he come up to Jesus and kind of blow off the other nine and say, look, I'm not Jewish. I'm Samaritan. I'm going to come up to you and ask you to heal me. He didn't do that. He stood with them. And many times when people are in their misery together, they commiserate together. These Jews that were at a distance obeying Leviticus 13 and 14 had no problem having an outsider with them commiserating in their misery as well, a Samaritan. He was one of the 10. And so the only way they can communicate with Jesus is by volume, because they're separated from him by distance. They raise their voices. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Think about this. This is amazing that they're crying out to Jesus, and the simple prayer is to have mercy on us. Now, think of the prayer we prayed last Sunday. We asked something very similar. We asked for the Lord to have mercy on us, and he showed us mercy. That's why it would be a grievous sin for us today to not give thanks and to not pray and to not say, Lord, we thank you so much for what you have done, and to be like this man, to come and fall on our faces at his feet and to give thanks. Yeah, we weren't on the eastern eye wall that took out entire homes south of us. God could have made that thing a category 5 and stayed a category 5. And I mean, look what it did up in New York. I mean, that's unbelievable. There are more deaths up there than down here. God has a way. Once again, behold the goodness and severity. Maybe people who thought they were okay. I mean, geez, we're not on the coast. We don't live in Lockport. They got hammered. We live up here in New York. What do we have to worry about? Except our subway flooding. Who would have thought of a subway flooding in New York from a hurricane? God has a way of doing that. It's a way of glorifying his great name to say, look, I can exalt the lowly and I can take down the mighty. But when they cry out to him, Jesus, have mercy on us. Notice how Jesus responds in verse 14. He didn't say when he heard them. When he saw them, and he knows what they're saying, why didn't he say to them, you're healed? Why does he say to them, go and show yourselves to the priest? Why would he say that to 10 lepers at a distance? Well, what was the purpose of showing themselves to the priest? Because that was a natural function of the priestly ministry. The priests were like health inspectors back in the day. They had to come and they had to look for mildew in houses. Mildew is called leprosy in the book of Leviticus. They had to come and look for, quote, mildew in people. That's called leprosy. they had to look for things in clothing like that, that stains and stuff that couldn't get out. That's called leprosy. You ever heard that little phrase, cleanliness is next to godliness? This is where it comes from in the book of Leviticus. And so the priests were the people who would give you a clean bill of health. They would kind of give you that good housekeeping seal of approval saying, this house is clean. These clothes are clean. This person's clean. Now, when you had that, what's the latest terminology? Vaccine passport. You could come into the temple. You were considered clean. You were considered able to come into God's presence among his people, traffic, and have intercourse in business and things of this sort with one another. And people would not feel threatened because, you know, you were leprous or you were an outcast or whatever. That's why he says to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. But it's also a test of their faith. Think about it. They want to be cleansed. And now they have got to wait on it. They have to got to go. And there's a task to be performed. Go and show yourselves to the priest. Kind of like Naaman, the seer, remember? He was the leper. And he had to go and wash into the Jordan, you know, seven times. There's something he wants them to do. Part of faith is doing that. You have to obey. True faith obeys. It's the flip side of a coin. Go and show yourselves to the priest. And it's interesting, as they were going, they were cleansed. Now, it doesn't mean that the other nine, when they went and showed themselves to the priests and things of this sort to be accepted back into society, given a certificate saying that, hey, man, you're good to go. You're cleansed. You're fine. But I think what you find here when Jesus asked that question in verse 17 is that there is something greater than simply getting the vaccine passport, the leprosy passport, that you're good to go. It's kind of like when he says there's something greater than John the Baptist. There's something greater than Jonah. There's something greater than anybody in the Old Testament. There's something greater here that you should be able to weigh, see the greater, and pursue the greater. And that is even going to show yourselves to the priest. As important as that is to get accepted back into mainstream society, because that's what's going to happen when you show yourself to the priest, that you were once a leper and they're going to analyze you for leprosy and you don't have any. And they're going to say, well, Bubba, you're good to go. Before you go down that road and accept that acceptance and accept that approval, you should be going back to the source and giving thanks, like this Samaritan. But the nine, where are they? And so it's a test. It's not just a test of faith. I mean, they were obeying. They were doing the right thing. They were going to the priest. But when they got cleansed, how do you handle that cleansing? What are you supposed to do first when you're cleansed? Yeah, but Jesus told me to go and show myself to the priest. He won't have any problems with you obeying that. But you need to understand there's something, there's a bigger elephant in the room that you need to take care of. When you see you are going and you're cleansed, you need to turn back, glorify God with a loud voice, fall on your face at his feet, and give thanks. This is one of those tests between not good and evil, but good and better. And here's a guy who's a Samaritan. He's not a Jew. So in other words, he's not getting brought back into the Jewish society and having all the perks that all the other nine maybe who were Jews would receive. He was still going to be a Samaritan after when the day's over. He wasn't going to be allowed in there anyway. But notice what he does that the other nine do not do. He turns and goes back and gives thanks to the Lord. Verse 18, was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? See, now notice, was no one found who returned to give glory to God? He didn't say, was there no one found who, you know, disobeyed my command to go show themselves to the priest? No, that ain't it. He's showing that when it comes to push comes to shove, returning to give glory to God takes precedence over going and showing yourselves to the priest, except this foreigner. So what does he say to him? Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. That will always be the signal. Talk about signal sin in Romans 1. The signal godliness is right here. You always go to Christ.
and you worship and you give thanks no matter what takes place. No matter if he says, okay, make sure this is done in your family and this is done for this. You have a responsibility as head of the church or head of this flock or head of this family. All those things are important for me, but I have to start out the day with, I need to worship you, Lord. I need to cling to you. I need to give you thanks and give you praise for what you've done. If I do that, he's not going to turn me away. He's not going to say, excuse me, you need to get moving. No, he's not going to do that. Just like it's done here. So the first thing about Thanksgiving, like contentment, it comes by subtraction. Many times he takes away things out of our lives and he puts things in our lives so that we're able to give thanks because we can't. Many times think of these things on our own. Second thing, thanksgiving is the outward expression of gratitude. Gratitude is the inward disposition. Thanksgiving is the outward disposition. Now, here's the third thing about Thanksgiving. And I really want you to pay attention to this because this is very important. Thanksgiving is the outward expression of gratitude. Now, think about what shapes and forms and creates gratitude in your life. Kind of like with the Samaritan. You know what does that? Grace does that. So grace is a creator of gratitude in the heart of a Christian. Grace is. So the actual wheelhouse of where gratitude gets created in the center, in just creation in general, the people, the entities in heaven expressing all of this grandeur of praise toward God is they have to understand, because they're full of gratitude, where did their gratitude come from? Grace. Because they have to realize, you know, I wouldn't be here right now unless God, in his great grace, decided to create me as a seraphim. So they are always motivated to praise and to worship. Why? Because all praise and all worship comes from a God who is very, very gracious. Now, pay attention to this for a second. If that's the case, and as it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, that we're not under law, but under grace. This is why sin shall not have mastery over us. If you're going to fight sin, you have to fight it with grace. Now, guess what? If you have to fight sin with grace, and the first thing and the most important thing that grace creates in you is gratitude, then you're going to fight sin with gratitude. And gratitude outwardly is thanksgiving. So when you're up against a temptation or a trial, you need to arm yourself well, not with obligation, but with thanksgiving, with gratefulness, which stems from grace. If I go in, I think about it. You got a lot of times when think about it, Christmas time, somebody gives you a present. And when they give you a present, your first thought is reciprocity. I got to get them a present. Well, they gave me a present. I got to go get them a present. That's not how Thanksgiving is to work. It is a poor motivator for obedience because then you're working off the debtor's ethic. Well, I mean, God did something for me. I got to do something for him now. I got to do something because I'm in debt to God for all the things that he's given me. That's not how gratitude works. Remember, grace is unmerited favor. You've just made grace into merited favor. And that will never produce true gratitude, which will issue into thanksgiving. True grace, unmerited favor, morphs into gratitude, which then creates faith. Because when you're thankful, you're saying, thank you, Lord, for what you did yesterday. That's what we're doing. Thank you, Lord, for what you did yesterday in saving us from the storm. Thank you for my life. Thank you for my house. Thank you for AC, power, whatever, for salvation. We do all those things because we're grateful, because that gratitude is based upon grace. But if I turn that around and say, now I got to go pay God back for all of that he's given me, that isn't going to create faith. It's going to create obligation and law keeping. Remember, the old saying that Christ gave us is true. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, if that's true, if it's more blessed to give, that's a person who is a benefactor. He's a gift giver. He's a benefactor. Then it is to receive. That's a beneficiary. People who are beneficiaries are on the receiving end of grace. And it's more blessed to be the guy who gives out the gifts than the guy who receives the gifts. That's why God is never in a beneficiary position. He's always a benefactor. But when you become a benefactor toward God, you're no longer standing on grace. You're trying to, I need to do this to God to show that I'm this. I need to do this to God. I'm trying to enrich God by my obedience. I'm trying to, you know, make God smile because I can do X, Y, and Z. That's making him a beneficiary. Isn't going to work. And so you got to be careful how Thanksgiving can somehow blow up in your face. That if you start taking this view that it's a motivator for me to work for God. No, the things that we have received from God should do this. They should make us grateful. They should be reminders of how good and kind and merciful and compassionate God has been to us and is right now. What it should do is give us the reminder that he will give us future grace. 1 Peter 1:13 says we should be sober-minded. We should fix our hope on the grace to be brought to us. He doesn't say the obligation. He says the grace to be brought to us. That means I should fix my hope on something that's coming down the pike tomorrow that's unmerited favor for me. And that's not presumption. Sounds like presumption. I'm presuming on God's goodness. No, he tells me to do that. He tells me to do that. I'm well within the scope of what I'm supposed to do. So it's a creator of faith. Real gratitude that issues forth in thanksgiving will always create faith. And when it does, you will overcome sin. So that's why your greatest weapon, this is point three on Thanksgiving, your greatest weapon in the fight against temptation, against sin, is thanksgiving. When you're fighting and you're feeling overwhelmed, gosh, I know I shouldn't be angry or shouldn't be lustful or shouldn't be slothful or shouldn't be prideful, whatever. If you stop and say, stop, I got to give thanks. See, all of a sudden it puts you in a beneficiary position, takes you out of a benefactor position. See, I should be this. God wants this from me. I should be producing this to glorify his name. You're thinking like a benefactor. God doesn't need all of that from you. Need? God has no needs at all from you. Need, as if you're going to give something God needs. So you're thinking like a benefactor. No, I got to think like a beneficiary. Okay, that's right. I got to think in terms of the grace I've received. Thank you, Lord. I need to thank you. I need to have a grateful heart for what you have given me in Christ. I got to thank you even for this trial and this temptation. That is all this I'm going through is to make me like Jesus Christ. And if I think along those lines, then all of a sudden, like Romans chapter 6, I will begin to conquer sin because I'm not under law, I'm not under obligation. I'm not in a benefactor's position. I got my hat in my hand and I'm thanking the Lord. I'm like the Samaritan. I'm on my face at his feet saying, I'm not just saying, Lord, give me power to overcome sin. I'm saying, Lord, thank you so much that I am here fighting this sin with gratitude, with gratefulness, thanksgiving of where you have brought me to this point. You have put me here. You have given me of your Holy Spirit. And if you have put me here at this very hard place, whether I'm being tempted to sin or whether I'm going to the eastern side of the eye wall of a hurricane, you thought it's best for me. And I want to give you thanks for that. See, when you do that, everything changes. At that point, it's, this is good for me. Romans 8:28. I need to be here. Look how wonderful and gracious God is being to me. While the thing I might be going through is evil in itself, I see the bigger picture. And that gratefulness in my heart that's created issues forth in thanksgiving. And I have taken the high ground. I have conquered the enemy. I'm not giving in and trying to be tempted to be a benefactor and give God somehow some sort of, you know, work or some sort of effort that I'm going to give him and that somehow once I give it, then he'll bless me for that. No, if I'm going to overcome, which is demanded of me, he never says, since you have to overcome, you're on your own to overcome. That's never the ethic. It's, yeah, you have to overcome. And guess what? If you're going to overcome, you're going to be just like the Samaritan. You're going to do it by grace, through gratitude, expressing thanksgiving, and you'll defeat every foe and every enemy when you do that. If you can't, then it's you're going to wind up trying to do something for God, and you're going to find yourself in Romans chapter 7. If you put yourself in a benefactor position, you're not capable of giving thanks. And if you're not capable of giving thanks, welcome to Romans chapter 1. They could not give thanks. You go down that slippery slope. He's going to make you thankful. The way he makes you thankful, he makes you grateful. The way he makes you grateful, he gives you grace. He gives you grace, opens your eyes to see that grace that you're given, makes you grateful, makes you thankful. All of it's set, and it fights sin well. Three things you want to remember. Thanksgiving, like commitment, comes by subtraction. It's an outward expression of gratitude. And lastly, it's grace, primary weapon against temptation and trials. That's why we want to give thanks even today. Now I'm going to open it up to you guys. Talk to me and share with me the things you want to thank the Lord with this morning. And then we'll have some prayer. What are you most thankful for about with this storm? Go ahead.
I'd like to give thanks primarily just for the Lord's providence in these trials. Because I had another one, huge one, and I never thought that I would be able to endure something as big as losing a family member, as close as I am to my dad. And what you're saying about giving thanks carries over into how you deal with grief.
Correct.
Not only for me, but also for my stepmother, was able to share with her that in giving thanks and in prayer and in giving thanks for who my dad was and just how he was to me and what I learned from him and the love that he taught me to have for my family, there was a peace that came with that giving of thanks. And it was also a peace that came for her, just hearing those things and putting them in the correct perspective instead of looking at the glass half empty, looking at it half full. You know, we had this time with my dad. Right. We don't have it anymore, but we had it, and God gave that to us so we can give him thanks for what we did have. Like you said, it was we were very blessed to get missed by the storm. Other people, you know, I didn't even think about Brother Jimmy's church. I was thinking about the guy I work with. He can't even work this week. He's stuck at his house. Hmm. You know, I'm able to work for him this week. But it's about that perspective about, hey, you know, when he answers this prayer, you have to give him thanks. You know, he did answer that prayer, but also just giving him thanks in the loss, like being able to find the grace to do that, you know, which it is grace. But, and I give all of y'all thanks too for your prayers. I think that's something also in the giving of thanks that should be acknowledged, because it's not natural to want to give thanks in times like this, especially from the world. They're at a loss for words. But when you start by giving thanks for what you have and what you or what you had, you know,
right.
There's a sense of peace that comes with that. So, and I've experienced that a lot over the past few days. Since the 31st, it seems like everything leading up to the storm, I was just, okay, I just assumed that, you know, we were going to be okay. I don't know what I was thinking, but, you know, I prayed and I sort of left it in the Lord's hands. And now I got to see firsthand, like, okay, yeah, you want to see it in my hands? Well, other things are going to happen. Other people are going to be affected. some negatively, some positively. There's going to be some loss, but it doesn't have to be a loss with grief as the world has grief, you know, a sorrow that like the world has, it, you know, and something I was able to share with my brother that it's normal because he didn't understand in his grief, like why he couldn't function hardly. And I said, well, brother, it's normal for you to have sorrow about this because you've lost something that's dear to you, and death isn't normal. And so we think it is, but it really isn't. This is the reason that Christ came, to redeem the world from death. But you know, I was able to help him with it too. Like you have to give thanks. You have to look at the good times that you had with Dad and remember that, and just think like everyone don't have that, you know. Think of the kids out there, like I was able to tell him, think of the kids out there that never knew their dad. I mean, we had a whole lot to be thankful for. But like you were saying just now, like sometimes we're able to give thanks after we lose something. And that's what I thought about.
Amen. Good word. Anybody else on giving thanks?
Yeah, I'd like to, mine is just a list of really thanksgiving to the brethren. We're obviously very thankful to God first and foremost for the brethren, and thankful also for my mom who decided to give us an early Christmas present. So I'm speaking to you now via generator. You know, and we did get the Cox internet back and everything so that we could participate here this morning. But I'm especially grateful to, you know, all these brothers, my brother Dustin there who just shared, and then of course, Devin and Casey, who practically nonstop kept calling and checking in on me, making sure we had what we needed and making sure we had power or gas or whatever it was, and food and ice, and thankful for Todd and Tim and Eileen, and you know, they're doing the same, Eileen checking on us and Tim giving me electrical advice and stuff like that. I'm thankful for just the friends, you know, Ben who set us up, and my son Chad who working like a dog right now out at Marathon, because Marathon got pretty well hammered too, from what I understand. And so I think they're working like 16-hour shifts or something crazy. But he really helped us out. And so there's just been, you know, so much, you know, his, just the way things have gone, Ben Axum, you know, and his wife Jessica and all of them, just everybody. I'm probably forgetting a bunch of people, but I'm thankful. We had a new roof put on this summer, and by the grace of God, we didn't lose a shingle. And I helped my next door neighbor tarp his roof, and his roof leaked, and the ceiling on the inside collapsed, you know, so I'm looking at that. Zoe's bus took a small hit. It wasn't a major hit. It took a hit in the driver's side window. There's a sliding window by where the driver sits, and that busted in, and tried to take care of that. So there were so many things. We look around, you know, we know everybody. Everybody's probably seen, you know, the trees down, the lines down and everything. And, you know, we look just down the street, huge oak tree in the front of somebody else's house, down and everything across the lines. We've got that huge one in our yard that we were sweating out. It stayed like a champ. I mean, twigs fell, but no big branches. The big branches fell back in the back. So we're just super blessed. I kind of feel like what Dustin said about the, almost a flippant attitude toward it this time. I guess there have been so many, they weren't necessarily false alarms, but you know, it's just getting to the point where, you know, well, this is Louisiana and it's hurricane season. And I've told people in the past, this kind of sounds kind of funny, but you're talking about Thanksgiving, so I'm going to say it, but, you know, many, many mornings, just constantly, really, I take a shower in the morning, and I thank the Lord that I've got a shower. I think about that, and it sounds kind of silly, but, you know, I think, you know, that's something that my Lord Jesus Christ did never experience, you know, on earth. Now, I know he's the Lord of glory, and right now, that's nothing. But, you know, you think when he was on earth, he never had a shower in the morning, nothing like that. You know, he didn't have those conveniences like we're talking about, the air conditioner and all these things. It does make me thankful. And it also, it's convicting, like Dustin, what he was saying to me is like, just taking it so much for granted that it become flippant, you know, just, no big deal, just blow it off. And it's like, no, you know, I need to be thankful, more thankful, more grateful, just for all the little things. You know, my mom is 94, and she's made it through this. She's not doing well right now. She's in the bed, but, you know, she's made it through. Her caregiver has had power, and so her caregiver has been able to come out and help us. My wife, nothing has happened to her. All my children are safe. My grandchildren are safe. I'm super thankful. So I have a list of just tons of things and items to be thankful for. They're little in a sense, but yet it's all these little items that you look and they add up and you just see that the glory and the majesty of the infinite degree of mercy that our God has, and that it's so wonderful to know that he delights in mercy. I sometimes feel funny about asking him every morning, well, you know, we need your mercy, and it's like we don't deserve it. We deserve so much worse, and yet in his infinite mercy, he was kind and good, as he always is, regardless of what happens. We know that it's for our good. But I just think about the way it works out and just the infinite mercy, and we can't exhaust it. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for his mercy. And then, like we know, we've already heard the report, you know, of brethren down south who did not fare as well as we did. And, you know, I know they're going to struggle to be faithful. They're going to struggle to be thankful praying for them. And so I just, again, I'm thankful. And it was good to hear these things this morning, and even the little things, to be mindful that it's an infinite, infinite amount of mercy that our sovereign God has, who has ordained these things. And again, I'm thankful.
Amen. Anybody else?
I would like to say that I spent the night of the hurricane in the hall on the couch cushions with my pets by myself, but I did that on purpose. I do understand why people would not want to leave their homes if they know a storm is coming. I don't know why we do that, like as if we can hold it all together, but I opted to do that. I opted not to go where I've been invited, brothers and sisters, and my son had to work, so that was a concern, you know, his commute back and forth or spent the night at the lake. My daughter never lost power, but they went and spent the time with some friend's house who live in a brick home But I was thinking, I was a little nervous. I wasn't scared because I wrote out Gustav under the bed. And God really showed up for Gustav, and he really showed up for Ida. I mean, Maringouin was really unscathed. Thank you, God. But I did. I spent it alone. But at the same time, he was there. And I wasn't as afraid as I probably should have been. He's always been faithful. And that's what I have to always tell myself. No matter what happens, God is faithful. And I know he loves me. So I just want to say how good he was to the people in Maringouin. You know, I didn't even see any trees down when I was riding around looking for a hot spot for the for the telephone cell service. I picked up sticks, little sticks in my yard by myself, you know, early one morning, so my neighbor could graciously come mow the yard for me. You know, it was just like you're saying, just a little inconvenient, you know, a little sweaty for about, really didn't even have time to get sweaty. My power went out at 3 o'clock in the morning and came back on at 9:30 in the morning. And so I was just very, I tell people highly, it was very fortunate. But one of the things I specifically keep in my mind is my neighbor next door who lives in this huge brick home. He's cut down all the trees in the yard and he wants his neighbors to cut down their trees. So he has this phobia of trees falling on his house, which I get. But he was kind of like wide-eyed and, you know, moving things around into his big giant man shed. And he goes, man, it's coming. It's coming. We're going to really get it. And I'm like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And I really believed that when I told him that. I just had this peace, this supernatural peace. It's going to be okay. And it was okay. And like the next day, we just rejoiced together and we were like in awe, you know, how protected we are and how good God is. And, but Mark, like you're saying, when I say that, people will say, well, are you okay? And I'm saying, yes, God is so much more than good. And I think about, yeah, but the people further down south, like you said, that doesn't necessarily mean he wasn't good to them, but at the same time, you kind of feel like a greedy child, like this is mine. I get four, you get one, you know. But I thank the Lord how he always draws near, and he has to remind us that he is faithful, even when we are not. And I thank him for that experience, you know, of being alone, but not alone. And I am thankful to y'all. I'm thankful for the brethren that, you know, check on me, you need anything, you know. Zach more than once has reached out to me. If you need anything, just tell me. I'll bring it to you. And that just means so much to me. So anyway, I thank the Lord for you. And I just thank God for being the God he is.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Hey, brother, can you hear me?
We can.
Yeah, this is Aaron. Listen, I just want to thank the Lord for sparing my home, but it's made me aware of some things that I'd like to share that I think would be good for us to consider. Everything we have is just a loan from God, and it all belongs to him in the first place. I'm just reminded of the verses in Philippians 4 where Paul says he had to learn contentment. And I think God sends these things our way for us to realize that our contentment is not going to be found in the things that we think we possess, although we really don't possess them. He loans them to us.
Right.
And we kind of are taken aback when we have to give those up. But, you know, I've gotten to the point because I've, not that I have it all right, because I make a lot of mistakes and I'm still a sinner, but I've gotten to the point that, you know, we've had to leave several times for these types of things and didn't know if we were coming back to anything. And you kind of, I think God in his wisdom wants us to be in a place where we're willing to give up all these things, even if it means giving it all up. And he was very merciful to us. We never were in any way, shape, or form in any kind of a threat. John and Eliz graciously opened their home to us. We stayed here the whole time. They lost power here for a few, like maybe a half a day or so. And we've been in comfort. And then our home just went through it without a problem. But, you know, I know those are all just things that God did, but God uses what you just preached, brother. He uses taking things away from us to bring us to the place where we're more like his son.
Right.
And if he has to do that, then he'll do that. But I am thankful that all the people I know down in my old stomping ground and Cutoff and all, they're all alive and well. But please pray for them, because it looks like a bomb went off down there. I mean, structural, very few people have roofs left. Debbie's half-brother, pray for him. He's recovering from COVID. All that's left to his home are the beams that support the roof. I mean, the whole thing's gone. And I know Brother Berg's in a similar situation down there. The roof came off of his trailer. But, you know, we look at all these things, we still have our life, and we can still be a witness to the Lord that he and his providence and his goodness and his graciousness spared our lives. And there's some people who lost their lives. And my prayer always is that your will be done and that your son be glorified, because I'm like you. If you're praying it not to come here, it's going somewhere else.
Yeah.
And there's people there that are God's people, wherever it's going. There's God's people all over. And so I am extremely grateful. I'm grateful for our church family, for praying for us. Tim, I'm grateful for you and Claudia reaching out to us. We're fine. Just want you to know, but I know your heart was to help us and the whole church. I know that I could ask you guys anything and y'all would bend over backwards to do it. I just praise the Lord for that. I just ask the Lord to give us strength when we go back to be able to be a help to others.
Right.
You know, I find as I'm getting older now, I just don't have the energy I used to have, but whatever energy I have, I would hope that I could use it to benefit, of course, my family and all. And look, he spared Jonah's places. He spared my dad's home. He spared my younger brother's home. None of them even had water in the home. So I know that's God's hand, but not that God's not a respecter of persons. Not that we're any better or anything than anybody else. He just in his providence decided to do that. But I guess the biggest point I want to make is that whether we're full or abased, as Paul said, we got to find our contentment in him, whether we're sleeping out in a tent and we don't even have a place left over our heads, and we eating potted meat and Vienna sausages, that we're thankful for that, you know,
Amen.
Just a blessing. Thank y'all for all your prayers, and pray that we can all pull together in the days ahead for these people who are less fortunate than we were in terms of their homes, and pray. And my prayer is that God uses it to save them, or if they haven't been what they should be, to draw them closer to him.
Amen.
So, yeah, thank y'all.
Amen. Anybody else? I know me and Becky we all of us are thanking the Lord, because obviously like Tom said, all this mercy and grace that's infinite, you know, his mercies are new every morning. Even when we didn't have power, it was a different kind of mercy, but we needed it. And it was a good mercy, made us more like Christ. And now here's a different mercy on a Sunday where I got power and I got AC. I like that mercy too. some ways I like some of them a little better than others, but the ones that I don't like are the ones that's probably more necessary for me. And I get that. And I'm learning that lesson. But specifically, I know me and Becky want to thank Tim and Eileen for helping us out. There were times where when the storm was coming, like Tom said, you know, you pray so much and you see God answering prayers. It's just easy to get a little lackadaisical and just say, well, they ain't going to hit us, or I don't have to prepare as much. Kind of like I'm thinking this is going to be like Hurricane Gilbert. It's going to go away, instead of taking true preparations and everything. And I just appreciate them. They wouldn't give up on us. They said, no, you got to get a generator. No, you got to get an AC unit. And they dogged us on that. They overcame our stubbornness, and we really appreciate that. And Tim had an electrical cord that just really saved our lives, hooking it up to the generator that allowed us to keep our freezer running and the little AC unit. So just my hat's off to them, and just really appreciate the Lord for bringing them and putting them there in our lives when we needed them at that moment. So, and everybody else, I mean, there's so many other people that, you know, I think of the folks that offered encouragement, prayers, even when I wasn't feeling well, and just seeing people rise to the occasion. I think of, you know, poor Tim with down back, yet he goes and he can, you know, help Todd at Dustin's house. It's like, wow, who does this? You know, God does that. God does that and empowers his people to do those things. And it's just encouragement to be able to see people do that. Kind of like what Aaron just said, you know, as we get older, we start losing our strength. And so when God gives us the strength to do things, we see that in a special way. So really thank the Lord for that, and thank our neighbors. Anybody else for praise and thanksgiving what the Lord has done?
Martin.
Hey, Martin.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Todd.
I'll just be brief. Hang on, let me move. I'll get too much reverb. All right. I'm just going to kind of shortly just reiterate what was already said. And I thank the Lord for everybody on what they shared. It's like, I know that even the folks that don't share anything this morning could, we could spend all afternoon and say the same things. And I really appreciate the words of those that shared, every angle that they shared from about people to the strength that God gave and the mercies and all that stuff. And just, I could repeat the exact same things in different words. So I'm very thankful for God's gift to different, you know, different folks in the church, and just expressing those thanksgivings or like prayers offered up to God. And when you enter into that with various people, there's a connection that the brethren have in Christ, that spirit, that common spirit, that just you enter into all of those prayers and you enter into all those thanksgivings. And I felt that with everybody sharing. And I know even the ones that didn't share felt the same thing. And the Spirit of God binds us together through all of that. And it's what brings us through all of these things, all with that common thankfulness to God. And one thing in particular I was thinking about was that starting off with what you started off with, Mark, on the aspects of prayer, the things to be thankful for and how we prayed before. And I can just remember the joy, the encouragement that I received before the storm hit, but our time of prayer together last Sunday, morning, as we prayed together and we argued with God in prayer, as we've been taught to do, and give him reasons why we're asking what we're asking for and for his glory and everything. And just, I remember that the focus in my mind was not so much our words and our petitions, but it was the character of God that just really struck me, is that my confidence was that not in my words, not in anybody else's words, as sweet as those prayers were from everyone, but that knowing the character of the one that we were praying to, I just felt the love of God on us all, in because of who we are in his son, Jesus Christ, of being sons of God. We're in Christ. And for that matter, it says, you know, if he had not withheld his son, how shall he not freely give us all things? And that it just the confidence that you have that when you're praying to God, knowing that, look, whatever comes, if he chooses to answer our prayer this way, we know it's because he loves us and he wants the best for us and he wants us more like Christ. If he chooses to answer our prayers the other way and take things, more things away, it's because he loves us. It's because he wants the best for us. It's because he wants to make us more like Christ. Either way, the reminder of the character of God through those prayers, that's what gives you confidence in the storm. It's like, look, it's not the circumstances, it's the surrounding, but our contentment is because of the character of the one we're praying to. He has already done before the foundation of the world the greatest act on our behalf that he could do. Why would we not think that this storm, however it turns out, would be for our best, our benefit? And surely he's done that yet again. And yes, I wanted him to answer it just the way he did. And yes, I believe 100% it was because he heard our prayers and he was pleased to do it the specific way we prayed this time. And I give thanks and glory to God for that. But if it turned out another way, I know it would have been also because of that's what would have benefited his children the most. But just praise God the way he answers prayers both ways. And, you know, I remember that in 16, he chose to answer it a different way. And, you know, he sent the flood at that time. And yet I heard so many people say, you know, I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't pray for it again. But I can tell you everything good that came from it, that he got made me get rid of so many unnecessary things. He made me understand that, you know, that these things don't belong to us, like what we shared today. And or even the fact that, you know, I'd have never got a remodeled home if not for this flood, maybe it was like that. But whichever way he answers it, because we rest in the character of God and who he is, we know that it'll turn out for our benefit, for our glory, for our Christ-likeness. So just thanking God for his character, for his love, the immensity of how much he loves us. It's incomprehensible to me that he does these things. And I thank y'all, every one of y'all, for, you know, everybody plays a role. Everybody does things that is as big as what the next person does, you know, a prayer in silent encouragement. And, you know, Mark and some others threw out some names, but everybody in the church, we could, you know, in our fellowship, we could take time to say, you know, I could say, Lord, I thank you for this person because I know they were praying. I thank you for that person because I know I could have called anyone up, you know, at a moment's notice. And if it was me that was in great need, and anyone would have given me what they had, you know. So anyway, I know I'm repeating a lot of stuff, but I just thank the Lord for you guys and for his love, which he has for us all throughout all of this stuff. So just really thankful. And thank you for that word, Mark, to steer us in the right direction in our mindset this morning.
Amen.
Hey, this is Tim.
Tim.
I'll try to keep this brief too, but, you know, it's a ditto to what everybody's been saying about being thankful and everything. I had a tree in my backyard that's dead, as you know, Mark. And I was concerned with the winds coming out of the north that it was going to blow it over and land right in my shed. So you offered help to come help, and Todd came out, you know, in the midst of him trying to have to get everything prepared for his home and all. I want to thank him and thank you, Mark, for the, you know, for coming out and giving a hand with me, because it was a big concern. Also, a little bitty thing that's kind of really neat how God works. Every time it rains real hard, our back porch floods. And so I said, well, let me go out and get a pump and try to rig up something so that I could pump the water out so it doesn't flood. Because, you know, we were going to get, you know, they're talking about 8 to 12 inches, and that wouldn't have been good. So I went out and got a pump, hooked it up, and it was raining and stuff. And it just wasn't keeping up with us. I said, man, I got to go back. Let me go out again, go get another pump. Well, the place closed. So I called Lowe's and said, yeah, we're open for about an hour. And then that's it. So I'm like, okay, let me run out there because I know they got a bigger pump I can put in there. So I get my car, cranking it up, open the back door, and I realize, oh, forgot my Lowe's credit card. So I went back in the house to get my card, went back to the car, and all of a sudden the front door's ringing. I'm like, okay. So I went to the door. It was my neighbor. And he's like, hey, Tim, could you come help me do, I don't remember what it was, something. And I'm like, I'm right in the middle. I really got to go, Hank. I got to go get a pump and stuff. And I go, well, this will just take a second. So I said, okay, all right, I'll go help. So I went over there and helped him with whatever it was. And he said, well, you need a pump or something? I said, yeah, I got this back here in my, you know, floods in my back porch. And I need to go get a pump to try to prevent it from getting into the house. He goes, well, I got a pump somewhere. So lo and behold, he had a pump. Saved me the trip of having to go. So it's just amazing how the Lord worked it out that I was about to drive off and I forgot my credit card. And then he came in the meantime and kind of saved me from that. So it was a little deal, but we were very, very thankful for that, how the Lord provides. And now a little twist. I have to learn to be more thankful. I guess from doing stuff around the yard and helping and my neighbor and stuff, I aggravated my sciatica again, and it's really bad. In the mornings, it's really hard to get out of bed. So I need to be thankful for that the Lord's given me that, because I know it's for His, you know, it's His will that I have it. So I guess I gotta pray that I have a better attitude with it, and you know, see what the Lord has in mind for me, and to be thankful for it. You know, it's, I guess, kind of like Paul was stricken, but just pray that I'm more thankful for, you know, for the things we do have, obviously. And, you know, we take our health and everything for granted until you get hit with something. And I just pray that the Lord would give me understanding and give me grace, you know, to bear with this. So I have also a need to be thankful. So thanks.
Amen. Good little lesson there, Tim, sharing. Tim could have told his neighbor, no, I got to go get this pump. I only got an hour before Lowe's closes. I'll see you when I get back. But he put his neighbor first, and look what happened. His neighbor had the pump. Kind of killed two birds with one stone. You know, something else too. You know, we have two kind of houses. We have the houses we live in with brick and mortar. And then our body is called a house in 2 Corinthians 5. So one house might go unscathed from the hurricane, but then another house might get sciatic problems or COVID or something like that, and we have to deal with that. So we're just appreciative of the Lord of protecting our houses, both our personal bodies and as well as the structures He gives us to live in. Anybody else before we close? I want to be sensitive to the time, but at the same time, look, this is praising the Lord and thanking Him. We got no place to be except here. All right. Well, why don't we close in prayer and ask the Lord to keep us thankful, obviously. We have some folks that we can roll up our sleeves and help them with down south, as well as to the east of us and Jimmy Dallions. And we'll see how that plays out. Also, if you need to get in touch with me about this Wednesday, going up to Ellick to the funeral for Dustin's dad and bringing food and stuff, you know, let me know. We can try and coordinate that. So, Aaron Champagne, would you close us in prayer, brother?
Yeah, sure. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we are so grateful that we know not only by the faith that You have given us, but by the experiences, Lord, that You have brought us through, that You love us, without measure, without condition. Lord, that you loved us so much that You gave Your only begotten Son for us. Lord, as the brother already said, Lord, how could we be anxious when You have given Your only Son for us, Your most precious Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? How could we be anxious for anything else or think that You would not take care of us, Lord? And Father, Lord, we acknowledge even as we pray this, that we shy away from some verses like to live is Christ, to die is gain. It is a gain for those who you call from this life who know you. It is a gain. They are gaining all the heavenly riches of being with you, the one who made us. So, Lord, help us, Lord, to always be thankful, whether we have everything we need or we have very little, that knowing that we are yours, that you are using these things, Lord, to mold us and shape us more into the image of your Son. Thank you for your goodness and mercies to all of us. I thank you so much for these brothers and sisters in Christ. Bless us all in the days ahead, and let us not let up, Lord. Show us by your Spirit, lead us, guide us, speak to us, Lord, as what we can do to be a help to others, Lord. Just look to you. And Lord, those who are feeling ailments, we pray that you would heal them, Lord, as you are the great physician. We love you and we praise you. We thank you so much for this time that we have together and for all the brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. Be with those in the East, Lord, Brother Downing and his family and church, and help them, Lord, and bless them, encourage them. Use all these events, Lord, for the glory of your name and for the furtherment of your kingdom. We pray these things in the name of your blessed Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.